It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Welcome to an hour of science fiction. Later on, we'll hear a story on X-1 called The Seventh Victim, but right now it's 2000+, one of radio's first sci-fi efforts in any regularity. This Mutual Broadcasting System episode from July 5th, 1950, called A Veteran Comes Home.
Story of a soldier and a war beyond the moon. A GI in the years beyond 2000+. 2000+! Science fiction adventures from the world of tomorrow. The years beyond 2000 A.D. 2000+ presents A Veteran Comes Home.
Rocket ship Luna arriving from moon at rocket cradle 4 East section.
Mommy, is that it? Is that the one with Daddy on it?
Billy, I told you before, Daddy's spaceship arrived here several hours ago. The spaceship from Mars has been here since 11 o'clock.
Then where is he? Why don't I see my daddy?
Because, darling, all the soldiers have to go through quarantine and army regulations and all sorts of things.
Why, my daddy's a space soldier. I'll bet he had all sorts of adventures. I'll bet he had...
Attention, please.
Quiet, Billy. Listen.
All relatives of military personnel of rocket ship Militant Flight 82 from Mars holding blue cards report to Gate 5.
Oh, Billy, that's us. The soldiers are going to come out in a few minutes. Come on, darling, come on.
Will he know me, Mama? Will Dad know me? Will I know him?
Watch where you're walking, Billy. Of course he'll know you, dear. He'll see me first, and then he'll see you.
All I ever saw was his picture.
Stand by that rope, Billy. We can see Gate 5 from here.
Boy, he'll tell me all about the war on Mars.
Oh, Billy, it's so good to have him back. 5 years. 5 long years.
Can I see the spaceship later, huh, Mom? Later, maybe?
Relatives of military personnel of spaceship Militant, please do not cross the white line.
They're starting to come out now.
Oh, look, that man there in the white uniform. He's an atomic gunner. My picture book tells all about them.
11 weeks on a spaceship getting to Mars. 11 weeks coming back to Earth. And more than 4 years fighting on Mars. 5 years. Billy, stand back. Don't cross the white line.
Light 7, rocket ship freighter from Earth to Moon, will blast off in 8 minutes from rocket cradle 9, west section. Clear area. Clear area.
Over there, look, Mommy, a band.
They're welcoming the soldiers home, Billy. The first soldiers home from the war on Mars.
More soldiers are coming out, Mommy.
Oh, Billy, I'm so excited.
Do you see him yet? Hey, Mom, that's a rocketeer with the green uniform. Oh, boy, he shoots rocket guns.
I don't see him. I don't see him yet. So many men, so many.
Can I have a drink of water, Mama? I'm thirsty.
I don't see him yet. I still don't see him.
I want a drink.
Billy, not now. Oh, look, I think that's Daddy. No. No, it's not. Oh, Michael, where are you?
I'm going to show my daddy my toy gun. We'll play space soldier together. We'll have fun.
Billy, I see him. I see your daddy.
Where? Which one is he?
Wave to him, Billy. He's looking around to see if we're here. In the yellow uniform, over there. Michael! Michael, darling, here we are, Michael!
He sees us, Mommy. He's running to us. He's pushing the other people away.
Oh, he looks so wonderful. Tired. Michael! Michael!
Mommy, oh. Why are you crying?
Because he's come home, dear. Michael's come home.
Hey, Dad! Here we are! You! Hey, Daddy!
Here he comes! Oh, Michael!
Mary. darling.
So long since I've held you. But, Michael, you've got to meet your son.
Hello, son.
Hello. Is that all you've got to say to your daddy?
Oh, he doesn't have to say anything. Just let me look at him.
Oh, you've got forever to do that now, darling. Because you're home. Our soldier has come home.
Daddy asleep?
He was tired, Billy. He wanted to rest.
He didn't talk much when we came home, did he?
No, but he will. You and he will have a lot to talk about.
Hey, I think I heard him getting up.
Well, we'll open the door carefully and peek in. Now be quiet in case he's still asleep.
It's all right. I'm awake.
Oh, well, you slept 2 hours.
Oh, I haven't been asleep. Just lying here.
Is something wrong, Michael? Do you feel all right?
Oh, sure. Just can't get used to being home.
I'll make a snack for you. Billy, now you can talk to your father.
Come here, son. Sit on the bed.
Okay, Dad.
I'll call you when everything's ready.
What do you want to tell me, Billy?
I don't know.
But your mother said...
Do you like me?
Well, of course I like you.
Will you play with me?
Well, I'm a little tired, son, but I guess it can be arranged. What do you want to play?
Soldiers, space soldiers. You're a soldier and
I'll... something else.
You don't like me.
Just play something else, that's all.
But all the kids think it's swell my dad's a space soldier. Nobody else in my gang has a dad who's gone to Mars. I told him when my dad came home, he showed me how to play real soldier and
stop
we'd
it,
have
stop
fight.
Stop talking about it.
Yes, sir.
And don't say yes, sir, to me. I don't ever want to hear you say that. Well, stop crying. Men aren't supposed to cry. Space soldier. 200 years, the world hasn't had a war. For 200 years, the human race finally got peace. Federated world in the years after 2000. Science flourishes, civilization grows. Then we learn how to travel in outer space. First the moon for scientific observations. Then we go on to other planets. Mars. The one planet we know is capable of sustaining human life. And all the 200 years of peace gets rotted away. Because the Earth wants to explore Mars and the Martians object. New worlds to conquer where the Columbuses of 2000 plus. And the interplanetary war begins. We have to fight for every canal, every inch on Mars. Well, I don't want any son of mine thinking it's so great. I hate it.
I was going to play space soldier with...
Space soldier? What do they do? Fill you full of the romance of Mars, the mysteries of the unknown? How can you or anybody on this particular world know what it's like in that unhuman place called Mars? Play, space soldier, play. I remember the patrol. Patrol into the red grass. Blades sharp as swords and covered with that sickening ooze of the Martian vegetation. We went on patrol, 14 of us. I was the patrol leader. All right, let's stop a minute.
Oh!
You see anything?
Just the red grass. Wait. About a mile and a half over there, a sand belt.
Give me your glasses. Yeah, that's right.
Where the grass meets the sand belt, we gotta be careful. Those sand spiders, more dangerous than a cobra. One bite and you're dead in half a minute.
Men are all wearing shin boots.
We'd better put on our masks and gloves, too. Sometimes a spider crawls up the clothing.
Okay. Masks and gloves, protective gear.
Protective gear?
Oh, no. It's too quiet. I've always got the feeling the Martians are around when it's this quiet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We'll go on now. Leo, you take four men and cover the left. Use electric rifles.
Yes, sir.
Have Maroney take four men and cover the right. Torpedo pistols.
Yes, sir.
Ted and I'll take the other men and move straight on. Ted, we'll use atomic shell clips in our guns. If we meet opposition and have to blast them, Leo's and Mulroney's groups can cover us as we move around the area we've radiated. Better keep our belt Geiger counters handy.
Okay, Captain.
Let's move.
The slime from the grass sticks to everything.
Careful. Careful of those sharp rocks.
There certainly aren't any Martians on that sand belt, or we'd see them. If they're around here at all, they're between us and the sand belt, hiding in this red grass.
Look out!
Huh?
Jump away! Don't want to step on it.
Good Lord, I didn't see it. A tooth flower.
Those flowers are hard as ivory. It's a carnivorous plant. You walk too close to it, it'll bite your leg in half.
Mars. The nightmare planet.
And we'll keep moving. And keep your eyes peeled for killer vegetation and enemy Martians.
It's getting hot.
Always gets like a novel about this time of day.
Leo's group is moving ahead. Apparently they found nothing dangerous yet.
Hello! Hello!
They're waving. Everything's okay.
Don't be too sure. Look over there.
Sandstorm. Whipping across the sand belt. They come up in seconds, blast by at hundreds of miles an hour.
Everybody down! Hit the set!
All over us. Those grass blades like an Indian taker lying down in a bed of knives.
Hug the dirt. Here comes a sandstorm. Men missing.
Here comes Leo.
Captain, two men, Davis and Martin.
What happened?
They're dead, sir. Wind tore Davis' jacket. A sand spider bit him. Wind carried a swarm up into the grass.
What about Martin?
Don't know what caused it, but he's dead all right.
Come on. Let's take a look.
There he is, sir. His skin is natural, not blue the way it turns when a sand spider kills you.
Let me see. Lord.
What's the matter?
The Martians.
Martians?
They got him during the sandstorm. He must be around somewhere. Look at his back where I opened the jacket.
Hit by a sonic beam.
Right. Super sound wave gadget of theirs. Turns your guts to jelly. The Martians are here, all right. Now warn the men.
Right on.
Give me your pocket magnet speaker, quick.
Here you are, sir.
Right. Leo, crawl in your belly over to the boys. Keep low.
Okay.
Let me know when you get there. Meanwhile, I'll talk on the magnet speaker.
Yes, sir.
Martians will hear me. So here's some lingo they won't understand.
Now, get this. We got company for tea. Be trigger happy and remember the Alamo.
Is Leo there yet?
Can't see him. Wait. He's coming on the UHF talkie. Snap on your earphones. Okay, Leo.
Sign of the enemy. We're fanning out. We're covered by the red grass. We pass word, shoot first.
Good.
That's an electric rifle.
Enemy sighted. The Chelly got one. They're east 200 yards.
Let's move in. Give them everything.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Ted.
Right with you.
Murder trying to crawl through this grass.
Hit a pistol. Our Ronnie's group has made contact.
Leo. Leo.
Yeah?
Whoever reaches 100 yards, throw atomic grenade.
Right.
Martians haven't returned any fire yet.
Yeah, they're probably waiting till we get closer. And they'll fan the area with that sonic beam of theirs.
Shedlow's at 100 yards. He's throwing the cookies any second. Plug your ears.
Check.
Should have cleaned them out.
Well, we've got to be careful. We can't go in to see. We don't have any anti-radiation gear.
No sound from the Martians. Nothing.
Leo. Leo, any report from you?
I think we got it. Absolutely no sign of life.
Move south a few hundred yards, then east. Probe their position.
Right.
Captain, I'm pretty sure it's all clear.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just feel conservative right now.
I'll be glad when they verify the Martians are cleaned out. This heat, this stinking grass. What a planet.
Well, at least the moon is dead. Why weren't we satisfied when we got to the moon? No, we had to go on to this forsaken... Listen.
The sonic beam. The Martians are attacking.
They must have had a group to the south. They got
someone. They're shattering us down. Look over there.
We can't help them. Just hug the dirt.
Put all those hands.
Don't you think I know that? What are two of us against a Martian patrol?
Try to reach Leo.
Leo. Leo! Come in, Leo! No response.
I got to get over there.
You're staying here. We've got to stay here and try to get out later.
But Leo... Leo's my brother. My brother.
Well, here's your snack, darling. I hope you like... Where's Billy? I thought he was in here with you.
He went up.
To play?
I don't know.
Oh, he has been so looking forward to having his daddy back. All the kids in the neighborhood are waiting to meet you. He's been boasting about you for months, ever since we got word that you were coming home.
Yeah, I know.
Michael, is something wrong? Did you and Billy have a quarrel?
He's a stranger to me, Mary.
A stranger? You're wrong, son.
He was just a baby when I left. I can't get used to him.
Oh, but you will. You can't help loving him.
Well, I can't get to know him until he stops this terrible business of reminding me all the time. Reminding me of what I want to forget.
But he's proud of you, of what you've done, of what
you... You know, I told him what it was really like up there. He ran out of here crying.
Michael!
Well, what do you want me to do? Throw out my chest and brag about being a hero? Pretend that a planet called Mars that Satan himself, with the aid of a few million devils, must have created. Pretend that Mars is heaven. That fighting a war so far away it takes months to get there is fun for the kiddies. I'm sorry, Mary. Just leave me alone.
Michael, this isn't like you.
How do you know what I'm like after all these years? I hardly know myself at this moment. 5 years away from people. Away even from the one world in the universe that contains human beings.
But there were other men with you all the time. Hundreds, thousands of them. What do you mean you were alone?
You don't understand.
Michael, darling, I'm worried about you.
A spaceship, half a mile long, 11 weeks in flight, confined quarters, the same blank faces of men torn from their planet, catapulted into infinity. A fleck of controlled cosmic dust. And being alone. And on Mars, the base dug underground. Living in plastic shells for barracks. Never being able to move except on patrols. All of us men in a nightmare. And being alone, in our souls alone. Give me some coffee.
All right, Michael. Here you are.
Thanks.
Michael, you're home now. And you're not alone anymore.
Good coffee.
Tomorrow afternoon and evening, that is.
Yes?
I'm giving a party for you. At first, I was going to have it a surprise for you. But I think you should know.
I don't want a party.
We've our families here and all your old friends. They want to see you, Michael. Everyone's so happy you're home.
Call it off.
But, look,
I don't want to see them. Can't you understand? I don't want to see them. Their smug hellos, their glad you're back chatter, their what's it like in another world and how's Mars, old man, question. They wouldn't understand the answers if I could somehow force myself to talk about it.
But it won't be like that. They love you. They're happy to
be back. For the last time, no.
Darling, you can't go on like this. Fighting the Martians in your memories and fighting the human beings who love you. For your sake, Michael, I am not going to call off the party. Everyone is coming just as I planned. And you've got to meet them and see for yourself. You've got to understand for yourself that you are home again on Earth. And that you have a life to live once more.
Do you mean that, Mary?
I do, Michael, darling. I do. Because I love you.
Well, I'm really a stranger in this house. Not really the head of it. Still alone. A barracks filled with chintz curtains.
Savannah!
Buffy. All right, Mary. Have your party. Without the guests of honor. That ever made a sound up there were the Martian controllies. Fat, greasy lizards that screamed like tortured souls. Look at those flowers. Blue, green, burnt orange, clean white. Sweet, glorious smell. Peaceful. So peaceful in which to be alone. The grass with short, soft, carpet-like blades. A carpet of green, cool and gentle. I'll just sit on the grass. Lie on the grass and rest. Rest and think. Think. I remember when Ted and I got back to command post. The Martian sky was dark. Clouds up there never looked like these clouds. We hadn't spoken to each other for a long while. How we got away alive from the ambush, I'll never know. And now we were coming to the base and the commander.
And that's the full report, Captain?
Yes, Commander.
That's right, sir.
A fourth successful ambush by the Martians in as many days. We're going to have to do something drastic to stop it. Air observation doesn't help. Endless miles of grass and sand. The Martians are small. Hide in the stuff. Take on its coloring like chameleons.
If it weren't for their sonic beam, those killing sound waves, they could probably handle them.
I know.
Can't the Earth Science Council work out a defense, sir?
Yes, they're trying to. But even if they do, till we get it up here, we'll all be decimated. I'm thinking of an old weapon. Poison gas.
That's an outlawed weapon, isn't it, Commander?
Outlawed on Earth, yes. But we're not fighting on Earth, Captain. Sometimes I wish they'd never invented spaceships. Well, let's not worry about it now. You may need some rest. Report to the hospital barracks. Take 5 days there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, one more thing. Lieutenant, of the 12 men on the patrol who were lost, one was your brother, am I right?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir.
Now get to the barracks and get some rest. We've got a lot to do in 5 days. That's all, gentlemen.
The commander is sorry. Now get to the barracks.
Don't take it so hard, Ted.
Well, why shouldn't I? It isn't
just because Leo was my brother, but because he was someone special. Up here on this rotten apple called Mars, we're all people out of touch with the decent things of our world.
Oh, look, kid.
Every man who lives here, lives up here, he's in his own vacuum. Can't believe what's happened to him. Finding himself in a place where things that are unreal to the human mind are everyday realities. But I had something. I had the one thing that made me a human being up here. I had someone who loved me, and whom I loved, and now he's dead, and I've got no one. I'm like everyone else up here now. I've got no one.
Something that I didn't understand at the time. I'll be all right from now on, Billy. You and I are going to be real friends, real pals.
Can we play soldiers?
How would you like to play baseball or build model jet planes together or go on a hike in the woods?
Gee, that'd be swell. I'd like that.
You didn't care what you did with your dad, just so you did something with him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And all you could think of was soldier, because that's what I did. Just proves how right Ted was. To be together and to love someone. That's what makes us human beings.
Michael.
Hello, Mary.
Daddy and I are going to play baseball and have a hike and everything. Oh, Michael. Michael.
It's all right now, darling. It's all right. Your soldiers come home.
Next week, another exciting and unusual story from the world of tomorrow, from the years beyond 2000 AD. Be sure to listen. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winolson Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Bill Griffiths portrayed Mike, Joan Shea was Mary, Alan Shea was Billy, Charles Smith was Ted, and Lon Clark was the commander. The orchestra was conducted by Emerson Buckley, music composed by Elliot Jacoby, sound, Walt Shaver and Adrian Penner, engineer, Bob Albright. This is Ken Marvin speaking.
2000 Plus on Tuned to Yesterday from July 5th, 1950 on the Mutual Broadcasting System, with sound effects delivered by Foley artist Walt Shaver, who is a staff sound effects man at Mutual and was part of broadcasts of Under Arrest, The Mysterious Traveler, John Steele Adventurer, and Murder by Experts. And staff sound effects person doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't do a great job. It was relatively new territory to bring sound effects to an imaginary world of science fiction rather than your garden variety mystery or soap opera program. And you're listening to an hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Time now for Robert Sheckley's story, The Seventh Victim, on X-1. This NBC episode heard on March 6th, 1957.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents X minus one. We go forward in time to the days when war has been outlawed. And in its place, there is a system of carefully controlled, legalized murder. The story, The Seventh Victim, by Robert Sheckley.
Is that the mail, Jenny? Bring it right in.
No, it isn't the mail. Are you anxious, Stan?
Well, you know how it is when you're waiting for notification. It's been 2 weeks. The government's behind schedule, as usual.
Oh, that's always the way it is. Now, when you get to be my age, you won't worry about it anymore. At 73, you can afford to wait for the mail. Well, how about the ad? Have you got it done?
Sure, E.J. Want me to play it back for you? Of course, I recorded it myself. We'll have an actor in for the actual recording. You ready?
Go ahead.
Hi there, neighbor. When you're in a crowd, when you're among strangers, do you feel safe? Are you protected by that vital underarm area? You aren't, unless you own a Protect Suit. The finest tailoring in the world has gone into a Morger and Freeline Protect Suit to make it the leader in men's fashion. Protect Suit is the safest as well as the smartest. Every Protect Suit comes with special built-in gun pocket guaranteed not to bulge.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
A touch of the concealed button throws the gun into your hand, cocked, safety off. Why not drop into the Protect store nearest you? Why not be all safe?
Oh, that's fine, Stan. That's fine. That's a very nice, dignified commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And you can relax. I picked up the mail just before I came in. Here's your notification.
That's it. Look, from the ECB, that's the baby.
Oh, you're not going to open it now.
Oh, no, of course not. No one is supposed to know the victim's name except the hunter.
That's right. Have a good hunt, boy. You need a kill. You've been all keyed up.
Well, it's too bad you have to retire, E.J.
Well, I got into the tens club. 10 hunts. That's not such a bad record.
10 hunts, of course not. 10 hunts, and then, of course, victim in between. That's 20 kills.
Mm-hmm.
I sure hope my victim isn't anyone like you.
Don't worry about it. What number will this be?
My 7th.
Oh, lucky 7. Go to it. We'll get you into the tens club yet. By the way, I got a circular in the mail. Maybe you'd like to use it.
Hmm, maybe. Victims, why take chances? Use an O'Donovan accredited spotter. Let us locate your assigned killer. Pay after you get him. Oh, well, thanks a lot, E.J., but I've got my own spotter. Very good fella.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're anxious to get home. Open up and find out who your victim is.
What's that?
Oh, shooting down the hall. I guess somebody got his victim. Good for him, eh?
You bet. Oh, it feels wonderful, E.J. I feel alive again.
Morrow's Garage.
Hello, Ed. Freeline.
Oh, hi, Mr. Freeline.
I'm going out on one, Ed.
Wow. Good luck, Mr. Freeline. I suppose you want me to stand by.
Yeah, that's right. I don't expect to be gone more than a week or two. I'll probably get my notification of victim status within 3 months of the kill.
Well, I'll be standing by. Good hunting, Mr. Freeline.
You'll be sure to save time for me now, Ed. I'd hate to be caught as a victim without a first-class spotter on my side, huh?
Oh, now, don't you worry, Mr. Freeline. I'll be right there in your corner. I've got a couple of good ideas for an ambush that I haven't tried yet.
Good, good. Well, I'll get back in touch with you right after the kill. So long.
Mr. Freeline?
What are you doing in my apartment?
Allow me my card. Emmanuel Gale, Emotional Catharsis Bureau.
What do you want from me?
Oh, just a standard spot check in reorientation. I see you've got your notification.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't opened it yet. Do you mind?
No, go right ahead. Yes. Anything wrong, Mr. Freeline? Everything there. Photographs, address, description data.
Yes, but it says Janet Marie Patzig. Janet Marie? I've never killed a female. Is this in order?
Well, just a moment till I check my list. Yes, that's right. The girl registered with the board under her own free will. The law says she has the same rights and privileges as a man.
Could you tell me how many kills she has?
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but the only information you're allowed is the victim's legal status and the descriptive data that you've received.
Could I draw another?
Well, you can refuse the hunt, of course. That's your legal right, but you'll not be allowed another victim until you have served.
Women always trying to horn in on a man's game. Why can't they stay home? Just doesn't seem feminine. Look, Gail, do you mind if I start packing?
No. Go right ahead. If you like, you can give me the historical checkout while you pack, and I'll just tick it off here on my list.
Well, all right. Where do you want me to start?
Question one, I think. When was the Emotional Catharsis Board established?
Well, the board was formed at the end of the Fourth World War, or the Sixth. Depends on if you count the new Argentina war.
Well, either count will do. Go ahead.
Well, let's see. Weapons increased in magnitude, efficiency, and exterminating power. Soldiers became accustomed to them, and it looked as if another war would be the war to end all wars. Would you hand me those shirts, please?
Yes. Of course.
So, this time, the peace had to last for all time, but the government recognized the presence of a need for violence in a large percentage of mankind. They recognized the validity of competition, love of battle in the face of overwhelming odds, and these, they felt, were admirable traits for the race. Mm. So their problem was to arrange a lasting peace that would stop the race from destroying itself without removing responsible traits. I'll just get a new toothbrush in New York.
Very good, very good. All right, Mr. Freeline. Now, if you could run down the basic rule.
Well, anyone who wants to signs up with ECB for a fine, legal murder. Then, of course, he has to take his turn a few months later, if he survives. The Emotional Catharsis Board picks the victim's names at random. A hunter is allowed 6 months to make his kill.
Armament?
Yeah. He's allowed to use a standard caliber pistol. He can wear no armor. Victim is allowed to wear armor and is allowed to hire spotters.
Very good, very good. Now, we don't have to go over the penalties for killing or wounding the wrong man. I'm sure you know all that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful system, isn't it? All the people who want to kill can, and that's about 1/4 of the population. Those who don't want to don't have to. At least there aren't any more big wars, just hundreds of thousands of small ones. All right, Mr. Freeline, you're checked out for orientation.
All the same, I don't exactly like the idea of killing a woman. But she did sign up, didn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
Janet Patzig in New York. Well, I'll be taking one of our Protect Suit specials. Have you seen one of these, Mr. Gale? When I actuate the mechanism, watch how fast the gun springs out at the ready.
Oh, excellent. It's excellent.
Ah, strange, isn't it, Mr. Gale? Each killing is a new excitement. It's something you just don't tire of, like a French pastry or women or drinking or anything else.
Yeah.
Let's see. There. I guess that's it. Now a note for the milkman, and that's about all. Well, I'll be getting along, Mr. Gale.
Yeah. Oh, and good hunting, Mr. Freeline.
Where to, Chief?
Carlton Hotel.
Carlton, you bet. Just get into town?
Is it that noticeable?
I've been picking up from the airport for maybe 10 years. I can spot an out-of-town killer by the way he carries his suitcase.
You wouldn't be working as a spotter, would you?
Oh, no. The Hack Bureau don't like it. This isn't your first kill, I can tell.
Yeah?
Yeah, guys on their first kill get too anxious. They want to drive right to the victim's address, walk right into an ambush. I'd say you had maybe five, six...
Seven.
Seven? Well, you haven't got too long to go before you get into the tens club.
You ever been hunting?
Nah, I can't afford it.
Look, I'll tell you what. If you can just drive me around the Chelsea area, I'd just like to look at the streets.
Uh-huh, that's where your victim hangs out, huh? Sure, sure, be glad to. You know what you ought to do, Mac?
Hmm?
You ought to drop in at the hunter hunting show at the Coliseum. They got everything. Bulletproof vests for victims, hats with bulletproof crowns. I seen an ad for a Malvern straight shot ECB approved. Carried a load of 12 shots with a deviation of less than a thousandth inch per thousand feet.
Well, it sounds like a fine gun.
And they got all kinds of trick things. You know, canes with four-shot magazines, 45 caliber flashlights, all kinds of things.
Well, those kind of novelties are all right for the first time, but the old-fashioned ways are the best.
Hey, look at that. Somebody got it.
I missed it.
Nothing to see now. In about 4 minutes, the guys from the Department of Sanitation will carry away the corpse.
Yeah.
Well, this is the neighborhood, Chief. You want to give me the address?
No, I'll just drive around.
Okay, you're paying a meter.
Now, wait a minute.
What is it, Chief?
There. That sidewalk cafe, you see?
Yeah, shall I stop?
No, just drive slowly. There she is. Sitting at a table.
You mean the victim is a dame?
Yeah, she's just sitting there. She crazy, exposing herself in the open?
Boy, that's sure no way to stay healthy. Not when you're a victim.
Drive around the block.
Okay.
And she looks younger than her pictures. She looks sad. Wonder if she's been notified.
Well, she's got to be notified, Chief. They can't send you your notice until her signed receipt gets back to the office. It's automatic.
That's right. Isn't she even going to try to defend herself?
Doesn't look like it. Here we come again. She's still there.
All I have to do is just ride by in a cab and pump a bullet into her.
Okay, Chief, I'll go real slow. You be sure to allow for the motion of the car.
No. Park across the street.
Sure.
Both her hands are on top of the table. An easy stationary target. All I gotta do is...
Say, that's some gadget. Hey, remember to roll down a window before you shoot that gun, huh?
Nah, it's an easy shot. It's too easy.
Look, mister, hurry up, will you? If a cop comes along and finds you shooting out of my cab, he'll give me a ticket for double parking.
Nah, it's too easy. All my other six kills have been hard. My victims have tried every dodge. One of them hired a dozen spotters. I got them all. I dressed as a milkman.
Hey, that's pretty clever.
Nah, this wouldn't be a trophy. Here, put your flag up. I'm getting out.
Okay.
Going over to talk to her.
She's your victim.
I know. It's too easy this way.
What?
Hey, look, if I'm being fresh, just tell me and I'll go. I'm an out-of-towner here on a convention. I'd just like to talk to somebody. If you'd rather, I didn't.
Oh, I don't care.
May I sit down? Like to buy you a drink, if I can?
I don't care.
My name is Stanton Freeline.
I'm Janet.
Janet what?
Janet Patsick.
Well, nice to know you. Are you doing anything tonight, Janet?
I'm probably being killed tonight.
Oh, are you a victim?
You guessed it. If I were you, I'd stay out of the way. No sense getting hit by mistake.
Well, you're awfully calm about it. Don't you care? Haven't you got any spotters?
No. Mr. Freeline, I'm a bad, bad girl.
Huh?
I got the idea I'd like to commit a murder, so I signed for ECB. Then I couldn't do it.
Oh, I am sorry.
But I'm still in, of course, even though I didn't shoot. I still have to be a victim.
Well, why don't you hire some spotters?
I couldn't kill anyone. I just couldn't. I don't even have a gun.
Well, you got a lot of courage coming out in the open this way.
What can I do? You can't hide from a hunter, not a real one. I don't have enough money to make a disappearance.
Well, since it's your own defense, I should think...
No, I've made up my mind about that. This whole thing is wrong, this whole system. When I had my victim in the sights, I saw how easily I could... Oh, let's forget it. I'm glad you talked to me. At least it'll pass the time. It's been a lovely dinner. Just lovely.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I usually stop at this little place when I'm in New York.
Do you come in often?
Oh, on business. I mean clothing, you know. What do you do?
Oh, I'm an actress. Well, that's a laugh. I'm not really an actress. I'd like to be an actress, but none of the producers seem to see it that way.
How old are you?
22. I've only been in New York for a year.
You know, you're really being very foolish just sitting out in the open that way. Why, you're a hunter. Could come along and just pump a bullet into you.
I know, but somehow I feel safe with you.
Oh. Say, Janet, would you like to go to the gladiatorials with me tonight? We got about 20 minutes. We'd only miss the opening numbers.
Well, I suppose so. Might as well, huh? Eat, drink, and be merry.
You know, I'm a little disappointed.
Why?
Oh, I thought the New York gladiatorials would be something special. It's about the same as Cleveland. Historical events, swordsmen and netmen, duels with sabers and foil.
Isn't there any difference?
Well, a duel to the death is the same in Cleveland as it is in New York.
You know, that's funny. I used to think that gladiatorials were very exciting. Now they just make me a little sick.
Well, you can get tired of the best of shows. Frankly, I think it was a mistake starting to televise the gladiatorials. It cut down on the box office for one thing, and for another, it just isn't the same as being right there in the stadium, you know?
No, it isn't.
Well, you want to stay for the second half? Let me see, they got, bullfighting, lion fighting, bow and arrow, and dueling on the high wire.
No, I've had about enough.
All right. Shall I take you home?
Would you please? Sit down. I'll fix you a drink.
Janet.
What?
You're crying, aren't you?
Oh, no, not really. It's just the thought that any minute from anywhere a bullet can come crashing into me. It makes me feel so soft and helpless.
You are soft. Janet.
You're leaving New York soon?
I suppose so. Convention's only lasting another day.
I'll be sorry to see you go. Send roses to my funeral.
Janet.
What?
Janet, I don't want you to be killed.
There's not anything you can do about it, is there?
Janet, I love you.
Oh, Stan.
What is it? Please, darling, please.
You can't love me. I'm a victim. I won't live long enough to...
You won't be killed, Janet. Listen to me, Janet, darling. I'm your hunter.
Are you going to kill me?
Don't be ridiculous. Darling, I'm going to marry you.
Oh, Stan, my darling. Oh, the waiting. I've been so frightened.
It's all over. Think what a story it'll make for our kids,
oh,
huh?
Oh, darling.
How I came to murder you and left marrying you.
Oh, Stan, kiss me. Oh, what? I think I'd better have a cigarette.
Let's start packing.
No, wait. You haven't asked if I love you.
What?
You haven't admired my cigarette lighter.
What are you talking about?
It's a lovely lighter, isn't it? With a small hole in the bottom. Just large enough for a .38 caliber bullet.
No, don't.
I'm not being funny, darling.
But, Janet...
Janet, I love you. I told you, I love you. What's the matter with you?
I don't love you, Stanton. I am a good actress, aren't I? Even though the producers don't think so.
You knew all along.
Yes, of course. Don't reach for that. Yes, darling. Well, now I can join the Tens Club.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine. X-1 has brought you The Seventh Victim, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Robert Sheckley and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast, Lawson Zerbe as Freeline, Terry Keane as Janet, his killer, Frank Maxwell as the cab driver, Ian Martin as Emmanuel Gale of the Emotional Catharsis Bureau, Irv West as Freeline Spotter, and Arthur Hughes as his business partner. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Kenneth McGregor and is an NBC Radio Network production.
X-1, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 6th, 1957 on NBC. That brings to a close this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.